chapter 16, book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. We'll read the first 14 verses. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. As for thy nativity, the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou wast born. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, that is, in the pollution of that blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. And when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. And I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin. I girded thee about with fine linen, I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. By way of brief background to the book of Ezekiel, the Bible, of course, tells us that after King Solomon, the Jews split into two kingdoms. It was the kingdom of Israel, which was the kingdom of the Israelites to the north, known as the northern kingdom. There was the kingdom of Judah, which, of course, was the kingdom of the Israelites to the south. And as you read the history throughout the scriptures of these two kingdoms, a pattern very quickly developed. The northern kingdom would sin, and years later, the southern kingdom would fall into the exact same sins. Due to sin, after a little over 241 years, the northern kingdom was conquered by Assyria, taken into Assyrian captivity, and eventually would be absorbed into Assyria. Approximately 135 years later, the southern kingdom, who followed the same sinful course of their neighbors to the north, they're carried into Babylonian captivity. Now, Ezekiel belongs to this southern kingdom. In fact, Ezekiel and Jeremiah would have been contemporaries, though their ministry was quite different. Jeremiah and Ezekiel both exercised their ministry during Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah, though, he ministered to those Jews who were still in Jerusalem, those who weren't carried into captivity, those who were left in Jerusalem. Ezekiel was one of those who were carried into Babylonian captivity, and his ministry was to those Jews who were in the Babylonian captivity. So they ministered in the same time period, but to different people, different places. Ezekiel, again, ministering to those who are in Babylonian captivity, would remind the people of their sin against God, call them to repentance, seek to inspire them and strengthen them spiritually. Now, just prior to what we have read for our text, Ezekiel had delivered several messages, had preached several messages to these captives. And you can pretty much go through the book of Ezekiel and you can mark where the messages or the sermon that Ezekiel preached begins. They all begin with the phrase, "And the word of the Lord came unto me." And you see that time and time and time again. You see it in chapter 6, verse 1, chapter 7, verse 1, and on it goes. Then if you go back and look at all the times that word, that phrase appears before we get to our text, you see that Ezekiel had already preached several sermons. And then we come to chapter 16, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me. So he's getting ready to preach another sermon. The purpose of this message, the purpose of the message that he was going to preach is stated in verse 2. Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. That is, Ezekiel, the purpose of this sermon. Every sermon must have a purpose. Must have a point. The purpose of this sermon, he tells Ezekiel, is that my people would know their abominations. I want you to point out to them their sins. And Ezekiel would say in verse 3, thus saith the Lord. And then what follows is the message that Ezekiel preached. And in our text, there's a figure. There's a word picture of their history as a nation. How good God had been to them. And he also points out all through chapter 16, beyond verse 14, where we read, their vile and flagrant ingratitude toward God's goodness to them. But what we want to look at tonight is, in presenting their history, he also presents a picture of the salvation of a sinner. So we want to speak tonight on a rescue story of an abandoned infant. And again, the point of the story was to recount their history. But that's not our purpose tonight. First of all, notice the deplorable position and condition that they were in before God came to them. The figure he uses to describe their position, we see in verse 3 and in verse 4, you see those words, thy nativity. Thy nativity. What is nativity? Well, it's the occasion of one's birth. Thy nativity. The occasion of your birth. In verse 4 and verse 5, he says, in the day thou wast born, which is the same as saying thy nativity, the occasion of your birth. The day thou wast born. So the figure he uses is of an infant just born. We're not talking about an infant that's several days old, several weeks old. We're talking about an infant that was just born. Just born. That is a picture of total dependence. Absolute dependence. That just born baby is totally dependent upon adults for food, for nurture, for shelter, for clothing, for protection, for life. Totally dependent for its survival. A baby void of this care will die. No question about it. There's no other outcome. A baby just born, left to itself, will die. No other outcome. So there is certain death for a baby void of this care of food, nurture, clothing, shelter, protection. So the figure of an infant just born is a picture of total dependence. It is also a picture of utter helplessness. Utter helplessness. In verse 5, this totally dependent, helpless infant is abandoned in an open field. The day of thy nativity, the day that you were born, thou wast cast out in the open field. We can all get the image here. We can all get the picture. It's a pitiful picture. It's a heartrending picture. Notice the words, cast out. The very moment you were born, you were cast out. Thrown out. Speaks of a forsaken condition. That just born infant was disowned. That just born infant was discarded, thrown out, cast aside, ditched, left, rejected, cast out in the open field. Again, in the day thou wast born, thou wast cast out in the open field. That is a picture of horrific abandonment, certain death, cast out as useless, cast out as unworthy. This just born infant is helpless and it's been forsaken. We also read in verse 5 that this just born infant not only was cast out, but cast out in the open field. Why didn't it just say cast out into the field? Once again, there's emphasis. Cast out into the open field, fully exposed to the elements. Not cast out or placed under a tree or in some shrubs, but in the open field. The heat, the cold, the wind, the rain, the hail. This infant is exposed to all of those things. Cast out into the open field, fully exposed to the predators, left where the wild animals go about seeking something to devour, exposed to all manners of ravenous destroyers. When did it happen? In the day thou wast born, cast out into the open field, no shelter. Without soon intervention, that just born baby will die. No getting around it. Without intervention, that infant will die. Lying out there in the open field, completely helpless. That just born baby, it can't crawl. It's just been born. It can't crawl to find food or shelter. It can't even roll over yet. In the day thou wast born, thou wast cast out into the open field. The baby can't crawl, it can't roll over. It can't decide what's best for them. It has no idea. That baby's going to die. It just lies there. It can cry. Fling its arms and legs in the air while it's crying. That's all it can do. A just born infant. It can feel pain. Doesn't know where it comes from. Can't explain it. It's ignorant. This is a picture of the unsaved sinner. That just born baby is helpless. Utterly powerless. And without intervention, it is doomed. It is going to die without intervention. And so were we. So were we. In the day thou wast born, cast out into the open field. That's where sin left us. That's where sin will leave you. You're as helpless as a baby just born. You're in an open field. You've been left. That's a pitiful and sorrowful sight. And yet, as pitiful and sorrowful and helpless as this situation, the position of the unsaved sinner is far worse. It's far worse. There's also a description of the condition of this infant. Several things are said to describe the condition of this just born. We put emphasis on just born infant. Notice verse 3. Thy birth and thy nativity. Again, he's telling them their history. Is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. This is not speaking of their natural beginnings as a nation, because nothing is said of Abraham as their father. Instead, it says, thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother was a Hittite. What that does is it points to the spiritual condition at their birth. Thy father and thy mother were pagans, is what it's saying. You come from wickedness. You come from paganism. And you've been cast out into the open field. You're born of an accursed people, is what he's telling them. And this is your condition by birth. In verse 4 and 5, there is a picture of hopelessness. As for thy nativity in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, umbilical cord. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. And then notice what it says in verse 5. None I pitied thee to do these things unto thee, to have compassion on thee. That is, there was no relative, there was no friend of the family, there was no one who could help you in your condition. No one. You're going to die in that condition. No one can fix this problem. This infant was denied the basic necessities of life. And that's where sin leaves every one of us. This just born infant lying there exposed in the open field. Destitute, no one to care enough to rescue this helpless infant from its certain doom. So it was with us. Religion just leaves us there. It can't help us. Pedigree can't help us. We lie there doomed to die unless there's intervention. Again, verse 5, we see that this just born baby was also the object. It's obvious for that the fact that it was cast out in the open field, but it tells us that this baby was the object of hatred and aversion. Notice what it says there, to the loathing of thy person in the day thou wast born. You were loathed. By the very ones who should have loved you, you were loathed the moment you were born. We see also, there was everything in this just born infant's condition that assures us of its destruction. We see in verse 6 that this infant is covered with the blood and the fluids of the womb. It says, you were polluted in thine own blood, contaminated in your own infectious blood. Again, the blood and the fluids of the womb. And this just born baby can do nothing to spare itself. Nothing. So there lies this just born baby, helpless, doomed to die. That was us. So what did God do? Again, He's telling them their history. In verse 6 it says, and when I pass by thee, now there's hope. If no one passes by, if no one comes to where this infant is, there is no hope. But we read here, and when I passed by thee, now there's hope. God came to the place. Hopefully there's no one foolish enough to believe that this just born baby could come to God. It can't do anything. It couldn't come to God. You and I couldn't. God came to us. God went where this baby was. The God of the universe came to the place and found this infant. The infant is helpless. It's been abandoned. It's unwanted. It's naked. It's exposed. It's helpless. It's in a horrific and doomed place. And He saw this just born baby. How did He see it? He saw it polluted in its blood. He saw it in its pitiful condition. Saw thee polluted in thine own blood. You and I that are saved, we were this just born infant. If you're unsaved, you are this just born infant. Cast aside by sin, unworthy, come from wicked parentage, destitute, fully exposed. This infant was exposed to the elements. This infant was exposed to the predators. But if you're here and unsaved, you're exposed to something far more serious than that. You're exposed to the eternal wrath of God. You're in a dangerous spot. And unless there is intervention from God, you're going to die in that condition. Utterly helpless and polluted. There was nothing in you and I that would lead us to God. And everything in us and everything about us pointed to doom. And there was nothing in us that would again lead us to God. And that is where God found us. And that is how He saw us. I did not find God. He found me. He found me. I was that abandoned infant. I could do nothing And he came where I was. There was nothing in my birth that caused him to come. There was nothing in my person. He came. And when he did, he found us covered with that which is disgusting, that which is infectious. And he found us exposed to the wickedness of the world and the ploys and tricks of Satan. So he sees us in our position and condition. And in verse 6, while we were in that condition, when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. While you were in your blood, while you were in that polluted condition, I came unto thee and said, live. By the almighty power of God, life was imparted. There was the sparing from certain doom. The majestic voice of God said, live. And just as darkness was upon the face of the earth, and the almighty God said, let there be light, and light was. God came to you and I, and he said, live! And there was life. It's called regeneration or the new birth. It was an irresistible voice. I said unto thee, live! I said unto thee, while thou wast polluted in thy blood, live! And notice the kind of life that it was. Verse 7. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. And thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now this baby's seen as an adult. There was life, there was growth. Life was abundant. Life was flourishing there in verse 7. Reading on in verse 8. Thy time was a time of love. God came where we were and imparted life to us. That was a time of love. The love of God himself. Also in verse 8, again he's telling the history. He said, I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. That could refer to God taking them as his wife. But I spread my skirt over thee. That infant was exposed in the open field. I spread my skirt over thee. I covered thy nakedness. There was a relationship established. It also says in verse 8, and entered into a covenant with thee, thou becamest mine. You were cast out in the open field. No one wanted you. When I passed by, you became mine. That's grace. It's amazing. Verse 9, there was cleansing. Cleansed from the infectious blood and the fluids. We also see in verse 9 that there was anointing. In verse 10, there is clothing. And notice what it says there in verse 10 concerning this clothing. I clothe thee also with broidered work shod thee with badger skin, fine linen. I covered thee with silk. Talking about something beautiful. Quite different from an abandoned infant, still covered with the blood and the fluids from the womb. It's covered with beautiful clothing. I decked thee also with ornaments. I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. I put a jewel in thy forehead. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver. And thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. And thou didst eat fine flour, honey and oil. What is God telling him? He's saying, I've blessed you abundantly. I was the one who found you in that open field. I didn't leave you there. I have taken care of you. And that's what God has done for us that are saved. But you notice in verse 6 through 13, we're not going to read those verses. I just want to point something out. I pass by thee. I said unto thee. I said unto thee. Verse 7, I have caused thee. Verse 9, I pass by. I spread. I swear. Then washed I. I anointed thee. I clothed thee. I girded thee. I covered thee. I decked thee. I put bracelets. I put a jewel on thy forehead. And then in verse 14, notice who did it all. God did. That's the emphasis. Verse 14, for thy beauty, it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee. God did it all. God did it all. That's what happened when you and I were saved. It's what's been happening all through our life. God has been clothing us. God has taken care of us. He's done it all. This was their history. He's telling them, I have blessed you. Remember, the purpose of Ezekiel's message was to cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Sin is a terrible thing, no matter how you look at it. No matter what angle you view it, it's an awful. But God would have Judah to view her sin in the light of His blessings upon them. And when you view sin in that light, it becomes even more disgusting. In the light of the fact that He saved our soul and has blessed us abundantly. And then beginning in verse 15, throughout the remainder of the chapter, Ezekiel begins to paint a picture. The first picture he painted was God's blessing upon them, how God saved them. And then he paints a picture of vile ingratitude toward the one who saved them, toward the one who abundantly blessed them. That's why I believe God's people, it needs to really, truly get a hold of them. God, save my soul. That will cause you to view sin in an entirely different light. It will cause you to view your life in an entire different light. Now, what was the sin of these people? Well, they possessed willful spiritual ignorance. They had forgotten God. How horrible to forget the one who found you in that open field. How horrible to forget that. They were a people who went a-whoring after idols. They were people who propagated sin through their children. They were people who went to the world for the solution of their problems. And they had a friendly and intimate association with the world. They were half-hearted in their service to God. They had more interest in temporal things than spiritual things. They misused the blessings and the mercies of God. They were filled with religious pretense. They were consumed with the trivial. They put forth more expense and energy for the world than they did God. They were absorbed with themselves. They were oblivious to God. And all of this is in light of what God had done for them. Vile ingratitude. You can read it throughout the chapter. I would encourage you to read it. He speaks in verse 20. Well, let's back up. Verse 16. And of thy garments, who gave them garments? The Lord did. We've already read that. Thou didst take. The very garments that I gave you, the very blessings that I blessed you with, and you decked out the high places of false gods. That's vile ingratitude. It goes on in verse 17, thou hast also taken thy fair jewels, the ones that he put upon them. My gold and my silver, which I have given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. Tookest thy broidered garments, remember we read of them earlier, and coverest them, and thou hast set mine oil that they were anointed with, and mine incense before them. That is the idols. My meat, which I gave thee, they gave to the idols. God blessed them. And they misused it. God has blessed us abundantly. And again, you can read through this chapter. Verse 33 says they give gifts to all whores. A horrible picture. But what it is a picture of is our sin. As a child of God. God has saved us. And when we sin, that's a horrible thing. Sin's always horrible. But it's even more abominable in a child of God. Because of the blessings of the Lord. Oh, that we would not be guilty of this vile ingratitude. This is our story, the rescue story of an abandoned infant. That was us. If you're lost, that's you. You're just like that abandoned infant. If you can picture an abandoned infant, what are you going to do? You're going to go to that abandoned infant, stand 10 feet from it and say, come here. Come here. You're going to plead with it? It's not coming. It's helpless. You've got to go to that infant and you've got to pick it up. Take it to yourself. And that's what God did. God didn't just make a provision for us and say, there it is, take it. It's not going to happen. That infant is helpless. It's helpless. You can stand there and say, little baby, come. Come. It doesn't understand a word you're saying. And those that are lost, unless the Lord imparts life, they do not understand. I don't care if they're 50 years old and have a college degree. They have no more spiritual understanding than that infant. None. It's helpless. God must do something. He breathes life into that infant. And in so doing, He spares it. Saves it. That's what God did for you and I that are saved. That's what God can do if you're here and unsaved. But unsaved one, that's your only hope. That's your only hope. Religion can't get you out of that field. Pedigree can't get you out of that field. Your only hope is God. And if God doesn't intervene, you're going to die. As a deserted infant in an open field. There's no other outcome. No other possible outcome. But we thank God tonight that we have a God, we have a Savior that does intervene, that does come where we are. So, oh, what a wonderful story when we can put ourselves in that story. How thankful we ought to be that the Lord has saved our soul. Brother Larry, if you'd come and